Our text for this morning is Galatians 1, 6 through 9. And you can follow along as I read these verses. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this word. Our Father, we ask you to send your Spirit and speak to us from this passage of your word, that we would hear the truth that is in this text, and that you would enable us as your people not to turn away from the gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There have been those who have gone before us at times who have turned away from the gospel. Men and women, those who have professed faith in Christ, who have said they believe the gospel, and yet turned away. And we see this here in our text this morning in Galatians 1, 6 through 9. As Paul is writing this letter to the Galatian churches, he's aware that some have turned away from the gospel. The title for the message this morning is, Do not turn away from the gospel. We have three main points we're going to look at this morning. The first is this. Do not turn away from the gospel by exchanging it for another. We see this in verses 6 and 7. So point one, do not turn away from the gospel by exchanging it for another. Look back with me at verse 6 again. And Paul says here, I am astonished, or I'm shocked, or I'm amazed. Why is Paul shocked? Why is he amazed? Well, we see here in this verse that they had turned away from the gospel. And by turning away from the gospel, they had ultimately turned away from God himself. And we need to be aware of that. Those who desert the gospel, who turn away from the gospel, are ultimately turning away from God himself. But for what? For what did they turn away from God for? And we see this in verse 6 as well. For a different gospel. To turn away from God is to turn away from God himself. The gospel is the only way to God. And I think at the heart of every individual in the world is the desire to know God, to seek God, to be with God. Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Everyone wants to know God and to be part of God. But there's only one way to God, and that's through His gospel, through the message of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection. And to turn away from His gospel is to turn away from the only road that leads to God. So, should Paul be shocked? Should Paul be astonished and amazed? And the answer is clearly yes. Paul was the missionary, if I could use that term, the one who started these churches, the one who was the first to bring the gospel to them, to declare the truth of Christ to these people, who had delivered to them the pure gospel. The gospel rooted in the scriptures. The gospel he had received, and now they had turned away from it. If that was me in New Guinea and that had happened, I would be upset. If that happens here in this church, your elders and pastors would be upset. Of course, Paul is shocked. What's wrong with you people? I delivered the gospel to you. The true gospel, and now you're turning away from it? What's going on? One question you need to ask yourself this morning is, have you deserted the gospel for a different gospel? Have you deserted the true gospel that we see in the scriptures for something else for a false gospel that may be promoted in our day and age and in our culture? Or do you know people who have? I'm sure all of us in this room could say yes to that second question. We know people who have heard the gospel, who have experienced the things of the gospel, and yet have turned away. The message this morning is, do not turn away from the gospel. Well, moving on to verse 7, still under our first point. Verse 7, aren't there other legitimate gospels? That's the question we might hear in our culture today. Aren't there other legitimate causes and messages and religions? No, is the answer. According to what God's Word teaches, according to the truth of the gospel, there are no other legitimate gospels or messages. There's only one message that God has given to this world, and that is the message of His Son, Jesus Christ, the message of the gospel. There are no other legitimate ways to salvation or to God or to heaven. There's only one. So how does another gospel come about? Clearly in our text here in these verses, Paul is telling them, the Galatians, you've abandoned the true gospel to something else. So there are other so-called gospels, but how does another gospel come about? What do we see here in our text? Verse 7, not that there is another, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel. So how does another gospel come about? It's when the true gospel, the biblical gospel, is distorted, is changed, is manipulated, is twisted, is perverted. And another gospel comes about, a false gospel, a different gospel. And we see that throughout history, don't we? Cults and different religions, different messages, different men standing up and proclaiming something new, changing and twisting and perverting the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. My friends, the warning is do not ever change the gospel of God. Do not ever do this to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't change it. Don't make it try to seem more appealing to our culture. Don't try to make it relevant. It already is relevant. And never listen to anyone who does this with the gospel. Those you may hear, the radio, the TV, the internet, books, pamphlets, whatever, friends, coworkers, bosses, those who try to change the gospel, who try to twist the gospel, who try to pervert the gospel, do not listen to or follow them. Now, as Paul's warning to the Galatian churches 2,000 years ago, pretty much saying to them, what have you done? What's going on? What new teaching have you listened to? What new videos have you watched on the internet? What new books have you been reading? Being led astray to believe a different gospel. There is great danger and folly in changing the gospel of God. You see, we might change presidents and we might change policies and taxes may change and education may change and all these things in our cultures may change. And a lot of that's fine. But to change the gospel of God is the most dangerous thing anyone could ever do. Or to seek to change it. Not that it can be changed, but to seek to change it and to twist it and pervert it. So what is this other gospel? We see here in our text right now, point one under verses 6 and 7, they have turned away to a different gospel, to a new gospel. Well, what is this different gospel? What is this new gospel? Well, in Galatians, it's substituting justification by faith alone for a fake faith plus the Jewish Old Testament laws. That's the different gospel the Galatians were going towards and believing and accepting. And Paul is writing against this to the Galatians. But that may not always be the case in our culture and in our day and age. So the question is, what are the other gospels in our day and age? And what characteristics of those who believe other gospels? What are those characteristics? Well, I have a few things written down here. As I thought through this passage and as I thought about it in our context, in our day and age, what are the other gospels that Americans are prone to believe and to follow? Those who don't directly deny the gospel, but they add to it, thereby distorting the true gospel. And that's what we see here in Galatians. So there's a lot of Americans who don't directly deny the gospel, but they add a lot of things to it. They add new things to it. And by doing that, they distort the true gospel. We see that in New Guinea, all over the place. When God's word is preached and when Christianity is spread, that's fine, they might accept that, but they add many things to it. The same is done around the world. Those who use the name Christian, but don't even know the gospel. America's full of people like that. Those who use the Bible, but it's a changed Bible. It's an altered Bible. Those who say they believe the Bible, but most of their beliefs are different from what much of the Bible teaches. Oh yeah, I believe the Bible. But when you talk to them, when you hear them, most of what they believe is different from what the Bible teaches. And that's contemporary Western Christianity. For example, the doctrine of hell. Oh yeah, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe in that. Or God's sovereignty. I believe in the Bible, but I don't believe that God is sovereign. Or sexuality, and that's certainly prevalent in our day and age. Those who say they believe in Jesus, but also in their religion, or their denomination, or a religious leader, or dead people. We meet people like that all around America and all around the world. They say they believe in Jesus, but also in. Those who say they believe in Jesus, but their Jesus is not the one of the Bible. Their doctrine and behavior is not the doctrine and behavior of Christ. That's a false gospel. That's what characterizes those who believe in a different, a changed gospel in our day and age. Those who take away from the gospel and leave nothing. And that's very prevalent in our day and age too. We believe the Bible, we believe the gospel, but everything is taken out and really nothing is left. Everything is taken out, all the doctrines taken out, and there's really no message anymore. We see that all around America. They take out the justice of God, the wrath of God. They take out the doctrine of propitiation, the doctrine of the cross. They take out the doctrine of hell or the doctrine of the judgment. They take out the doctrine of the gospel being exclusive. They take out repentance, and the list goes on and on. What's left? Nothing's left. That's not the gospel. That's not Christianity. That's not the message that God has given to the world. Guard yourself against those who only speak of some things in the Bible while leaving out fundamental gospel doctrine. And you're going to meet people like that in your family, in your workplace, all around, who say they hold on to the scriptures and believe in Jesus, but they've gotten rid of everything and nothing's left. Those who use simple, empty, powerless statements such as God loves everybody and all religions will go to heaven. That's a different gospel. Those who say they're Christians but don't follow Jesus. And those who say justification by faith but are trusting in what they do to get to heaven. And there's evangelicals that would even believe that. Attending church prayer meetings, praying, helping the poor. They say they hold to the doctrine of justification, but really they're trusting in their works, their performance, to make them right before God. So those are just some ideas that I had of what are the other gospels in our day and age, in our culture? What are some characteristics that would define these changed gospels in our day and age? Do any of these categories characterize you? Don't turn away from the gospel. There is no other gospel besides the one true gospel. There are many faiths. There are many false gospels. There are many twisted and perverted and changed gospel messages. But there's only one true gospel message that we see in the scriptures. And to make up other gospels will bring about the curse of God. Now that leads to our second point. Secondly, judgment on those who do turn away from the gospel and promote
a false gospel. That's point number two. Judgment on those who do turn away from the gospel and promote a false gospel. That's in verses 8 and 9 of our text. Let me read these verses again. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Verse 9, as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. We clearly see the judgment that God will put upon people who embrace and promote false gospels. So do other gospels exist? And are they being preached today? Yes. We asked in the first point, do other legitimate gospels exist? No. There's only one true gospel. But are other so-called gospels being promoted and preached in our day and age throughout history? Yes. So what should your response to that be? Be careful to what you hear. Be careful to what you watch. Be careful to who you follow. Now, I'm confident here in this church that your elders are preaching the word of God and the gospel. But there are many outside who are not. Many outside in our culture who are not. Many books, many videos, many speakers who are promoting and preaching false gospels. And we see that all throughout church history. What will happen to those who promote and believe other gospels? God doesn't say, well, you know, it's okay. Make up your own message. That's fine. You're all going to get to heaven anyway. You know, that's what a lot of people say. That's what a lot of people believe. But God doesn't say that. What will happen to those who promote and believe false gospels, different gospels, a changed message? What do we see here in our text? The curse of God will come upon them. My friends, if there's one thing you don't want, is the curse of God upon you. Anyone promoting another gospel should be rejected and stopped. Sadly, that's not always the case, because there are many false preachers throughout our country and throughout the world. Let me give you an illustration. Think of a simple illustration, a man trying to give poison to our kids. And say, oh, if you drink this poison, you know, it'll make you feel great to our children. What would our response be as the parents? For those of you who have kids, I have kids, if we saw a stranger trying to do that, and there are people in our culture that do stuff like that, what would your response be as a parent? You would do everything in your power to stop that guy. You would beat him up, you would call the cops, you would do whatever it took. There's no way you're giving that to my kid. How much more so when it comes to the gospel? Those out there in our culture, again, through books, media, whatever it is, promoting and speaking a changed gospel. We should do everything in our power not to listen, not to promote, not to allow them. A question you need to ask yourself this morning, are you believing another gospel? This first time I've preached here, I don't know most of you. Christians here, non-Christians here. Professing Christians here, non-professing Christians here. Are you believing another gospel? Are you believing a different gospel? Or are you believing the gospel that has been handed down to us in the scriptures? Consider this curse. You know, we hear of curses in New Guinea, we hear of curses in movies and things. We hear that sometimes. But there's one curse you don't want. That's the curse of God. And my friends, that is a true and a real curse. Do not turn away from the gospel. So how do we know if it's another gospel? Well, there's two things we see here in our text in verses 8 and 9. Look with me again, verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you. How do we know if it's another gospel? It's contrary to what Jesus and his apostles preached. If you hear a message that's different than what Jesus preached and the apostles preached, it's a different gospel. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to a gospel contrary to the one you received. How do we know it's a different gospel? It's contrary to the message that we've received in the text, in the scriptures. God has given us a book. He's given us his message. He's given us his gospel contained here. And a message that's contrary, that's different than what we see in here. In the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, it is a different gospel. And we are not to promote it or believe it. Only the true biblical gospel is to be announced and declared and proclaimed and preached. No other message is worthy. No other message can save you as a sinner. And any other message that is promoted, whether it's here in America, in New Guinea, or anywhere else on planet Earth, in heaven or in hell, is not worthy to be proclaimed. Why? Because only the gospel can save you as a sinner. Only the gospel can justify you. Only the gospel can make you right with a holy God. No other message can do that. And it's the only message that God has authorized. Now we think of ambassadors, we think of the government, we think of politicians and those who go out, say, on behalf of the president to speak. What if they went and spoke a different message? The president says, okay, you go deliver this message, you're my ambassador, you go to this other politician and tell them this is what we're going to do. And they completely changed it. What would the president do? He'd be furious. He'd be like, what are you doing? You're fired. How much more so when it comes to God's message? And those who promote and believe a false gospel, a changed gospel, a different message, will receive the curse of God. Don't participate in another gospel being preached. Have nothing to do with it. Don't listen to or follow anyone promoting another gospel. It's too dangerous. Your soul is at stake. Heaven and hell is at stake. And it leads to the curse of God. So some people might say, well, if someone important is speaking it, isn't that okay? Shouldn't I believe it? You know, they're a really famous person. It doesn't matter who's preaching the other gospel. Notice what Paul says here in verses 8 and 9. Let me start with the lesser and go to the greater. What if it's a celebrity preacher? You know, those famous preachers on TV, what if they're saying it? Shouldn't we listen to them? That's what we hear. Well, what if it's a famous athlete? You know, it's this famous athlete and they're talking about religion, so they must be right. Or what if it's a prominent politician? You know, they're a politician. They're on TV. We've got to listen to them. What if it's an angel from heaven? That's what Paul says here. Paul just goes right to the greatest. But listen, it doesn't matter who it is. If an angel from heaven comes to you and tells you a different message, a changed message, an altered gospel, do not listen. Do not believe it. It doesn't matter who it is. Paul says, if I come and give a different message, don't listen to me. Many are deceived and believe another gospel because of the person promoting a different gospel. All of a sudden, they're following a new religion, a new cult, a new leader. Well, they're famous. You know, we got to listen to them. And it only leads to the judgment of God and to his curse. Anyone promoting and believing a message contrary to the gospel of the scriptures will be accursed and condemned by God. So do not turn away from the gospel. That's the message this morning. Do not turn away from the gospel. And the Holy Spirit emphasizes this curse by stating it twice. Yes, Paul is writing it, but the Holy Spirit emphasizes it twice. This is serious. We do not want the curse of God upon us because we've changed his message. And you're going to be tempted to. And you, many of you probably already have, whether it's in your workplace or with your family. You know, that's kind of harsh, or you don't believe that, or accept everybody. You're going to be tempted to change the message. You're going to be tempted to believe something different. Do not turn away from the gospel. Listen to this. There may be some room for some doctrinal differences among Christians, but there is no room whatsoever for differences in the gospel. Now, we all know as Christians, you know, we have some different ideas and opinions about certain things, and that happens. But there's no room for change or differences when it comes to the gospel. What makes us Christians, whether it's here in Rhode Island or in Mocha where we are in New Guinea, what makes us Christians is that we believe and embrace and depend upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And any other message means that we're not Christian. So what should our response to this be? Know the scriptures and what the apostles preached if you're to know the gospel. I mean, step one is we need to know the gospel. It's amazed me, not just here in America, but in our travels, talking to professing Christians who don't even understand the gospel. Step one, know what the gospel is. Know the scriptures and know what the gospel teaches us, so that you don't turn away from the gospel. You must know the true gospel if you're to be on guard against false gospels. And you may believe another gospel if you don't know the message that the Bible gives us. So that's our second point. And now leading on to our third and final point. In Galatians, what is the true gospel you are not to turn away from? That's where we're going to conclude here, our last point. In Galatians, and that's a book we're looking at this morning. In Galatians, what is this true gospel that you're not supposed to turn away from? And here we're going to broaden our scope to the entire book of Galatians. The gospel message in Galatians teaches justification by faith alone. If you ask Paul when he was writing this, Paul, what's the gospel in a nutshell? Summarize the gospel in one phrase. As he's writing Galatians, he would say, or we could see it here, it is justification by faith alone. Now, there's many ways we could look at the gospel, many verses we could look at to explain the gospel, to give us an understanding and the message of the gospel. The entire scriptures are about the gospel. But here in Galatians, it is specifically and focused on justification by faith alone. That's always been a stumbling block for people. Every human being, pretty much, wants to get right with God. Wants to earn favor with God. Realizes, I'm bad, God's good, I'm a sinner, He's righteous. I need to do something so I'm on His good side. I want to get to heaven. Most people are that way. God created us that way. To have a relationship with Him. Adam and Eve tried it in the garden right after they sinned. They said, whoa, we got to fix this problem. So they sowed some leaves together. It didn't work. And mankind has always been trying to do that. And so justification by faith has always been a stumbling block for sinners. Turn to chapter 2, verse 16. One or two pages over in your Bible, probably. Chapter 2, verse 16. A person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. A sinner is saved and justified by faith, not performance. A sinner, and that's all of us in this room, that's everyone on planet Earth. There was only one man who was on this earth who never sinned, and that's Jesus Christ. And because of Him, you and I as sinners can have a way of being justified. But a sinner, you and I are justified, are saved only by faith in Christ. Not by our works, but by His works. Not our performance, but His performance. And that's a stumbling block to a lot of people. Because a lot of people don't want to give up and say, well, then I'll do nothing and I'll trust in Christ. People can't do that. And it's true, we can't do it in our own strength. We need to be regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift. We understand that. As a sinner, you are saved solely by trusting in what Jesus has done to make you righteous before God the Father. You know, this is the beautiful doctrine of justification by faith that has been preached throughout history. It was lost for some time. But this is the doctrine we see in the scriptures, that a sinner is justified, is saved, is reconciled, is redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ. My friends, that's good news to you and me. Why? Because there's no other way. There's no other way we could take that would justify us. We could try, and we know there's plenty of people in the world who do. They start their own religion, their own cult, their own this, that, and the other. But there's only one way that can justify a sinner, and that is through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. So when I preach to you this morning from Galatians 1, 6 through 9, do not turn away from the gospel. This is the gospel you are not to turn away from. This is one part of the gospel you are not to turn away from. Justification by faith alone. In Galatians, Paul contrasts work or law. We could group that together, and faith. He's constantly making that contrast. Works and faith. Obedience to the law and faith. There's always the contrast here in the book of Galatians. Either you trust Jesus by faith to save you from your sin, or you keep the entire law by your own works. Those are the two roads. We're either justified by faith or we're justified by our works. Most people in the world think and believe they're justified. They could be saved by what they do. That's not the gospel. The gospel is we are justified. We are saved. Our sin is removed. Our sin is forgiven based upon faith in what Jesus has already done upon the cross. Because it's by faith, you contribute nothing to your justification. And again, that's another stumbling block for humans. We want to contribute. But justification by faith alone teaches otherwise. We don't contribute. And that's not bad news. We should be like, oh, darn it. I want to contribute to my salvation. I don't want to go to heaven now. I mean, that should not be our response. Our response should be, praise God. I don't have to do anything. He's done it all. And I will trust him. And I will rely upon the work of Christ. That is good news to a sinner. And for those of you in this room who are not saved, who are not Christians, who are not born again, who are not believing this gospel, look to this gospel today and believe it and trust in it for your salvation. Well, there is one thing you contribute to your salvation. It's your sin. That's the one thing we contribute. We say, God, here's my sin. Jesus, here's my sin. Take it. And I will trust in your work to save me. See, every other religion teaches, I have a problem with my sin. I know I'm not good, so I need to try to get rid of it. That's not good news. That's not the gospel. You can do nothing to get rid of your sin. You know, if that's where the message of the Bible ended, we're doomed. And it's true, we can do nothing to get rid of our sin. But the gospel is here. God has given us a message. God has given us a way. God has given us hope through Jesus Christ, his Son, that our sin can be taken away through the work of Jesus Christ. And that is accomplished, and it occurs in us as sinners when we trust in the work of Jesus Christ. That's all God requires of us, to turn away from our sin and to embrace this message, to have faith in this message. And I want to encourage you as believers in this church not to turn away from the gospel. The gospel message tells you not to rely upon yourself and your performance to make you right before God the Father. If you want to rely upon yourself and your performance, you are obligated to keep the whole law. Look at chapter 5, verse 3. It says that. You're obligated to keep the whole law. If you want to take that road, you know what? I'm going to work my own way to heaven. I'm going to make my own way to heaven. I'm going to get there myself. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, okay, you want to go that road? You've got to keep the whole law. The bad news is you haven't. The bad news is I haven't. None of us have, but there's one man who has. And that's Jesus Christ. There's one man who did obey the entire law at every point and never once sinned. My friends, that's good news for the world. That there is a man who came to take away sin because he obeyed. To take away our disobedience because he obeyed. To fix the problem that Adam caused when he disobeyed in sin, because the second Adam didn't disobey in sin. That's the hope for this world. That's the message we must preach. That's the message you must not turn away from. If you rely upon yourself and your performance, you're under the curse. Chapter 3, verse 10. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. You want to go the law way? You want to go your own performance way? You want to seek to be justified that way? You're under a curse. But thanks be to God, chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's the message of the gospel. If we try to fix the problem ourselves, we're cursed. We're doomed. We have no hope. That goes for people in Rhode Island, people in New Guinea. There's no hope, no way of salvation if we make our own road, if we seek to make our own way. But, chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. And my friends, the beauty of the gospel and what Christ has accomplished for his people is amazing. We can't even, well, we're beginning to understand it as the Holy Spirit teaches us. And we will forever be learning about the gospel, that Jesus was cursed for us, the eternal Son of God, the one who never sinned, the one who always obeyed, the one who is equal with his Father forever, who came to this earth to accomplish his Father's will and took the curse upon himself. The curse that is upon you and me because we're sinners, he took it away. He was cursed. He was forsaken. He was rejected. He was killed so you could be justified when you believe in the work of Christ. The gospel clearly teaches justification through what Jesus alone has done, not by what you do or not by what someone else does. Chapter 2, verse 21. If righteousness were through the law, if you could be justified by what you do, if you can make your own way to heaven, what does the rest of the verse say? I lost my place, sorry. If righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Yeah, if you could get to heaven yourself, if you could get rid of your sin yourself, why would Christ have died? I mean, that's ridiculous. Why would God the Father send his Son to be sacrificed, to become sin, to be cursed, to be forsaken, the Eternal One go to the grave, if you could save yourself? That's Paul's argument. It's pretty clear. If righteousness were through the law, through your performance, then Christ died for nothing. The gospel message is about faith in Jesus. No one, chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, no one is justified before God the Father by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. My friends, that's the message of the gospel, that a sinner is justified by faith alone. Are you believing in this message? Do you have faith in the work of Jesus Christ? Are you resting in what he accomplished in his life, his death, his resurrection? Is that where your hope is? Is that what you're staking your eternity upon? Then do not turn away from the gospel. So in conclusion, let me summarize and recap these three main points. The first point we looked at, do not turn away from the gospel by exchanging it for another. We saw in verses 6 and 7 that the Galatians had exchanged the true gospel for another one. Second point was judgment on those who do turn away from the gospel and promote a false gospel. We saw in verses 8 and 9, God's curse upon those who do such a thing. And then our third and final point, we saw that in Galatians, what is this gospel message we're not supposed to turn away from? Justification by faith alone. So why did I preach this message this morning to you? I want to encourage you as believers, as a church, to believe in the gospel to the end. You will be tempted and you have been. Through the media, through the news, through YouTube, through friends, co-workers, an assault of things upon you in our culture and our day and age. You will be tempted to abandon the gospel. But do not turn away from the gospel. Believe the gospel to the end. There have been people who have turned away, maybe even in this very church, who once professed faith in Christ, who once embraced the gospel, but now have forsaken it. You don't want to become like them. I tell my kids all the time, you want to make sure you're on God's side. You want to make sure that you're saved through Him and that you remain with Him until the end. Because there are many false converts. There are many fakes who say they believe the gospel, but they don't believe it to the end. And God's curse will come upon them. So that's one reason. Why did I preach it? I want you to focus on what matters most. And again, you're going to be bombarded with everything in your culture, in our culture, about things that matter more than the gospel. And that's not true. The gospel matters most. More than education, more than your job, more than your career, more than your finances, more than your car and your house and your friends and the media and the president and everything else. The gospel matters most. And believe that and live that way so that when your coworkers see you, they realize, you know what? That person's a Christian. They're the real deal because the gospel matters most in their life. And when your kids see you, they realize, you know what? Mom and Dad, the thing that matters most to them is the gospel. Not necessarily what they want or what I want, but the gospel matters most. Cherish the beauty and the power of the gospel. You know, we cherish a lot of things, and it's good. We live in God's world, and there's a lot of good things to cherish, and a lot of beauty we see. We're in God's world. But cherish the beauty and the power of the gospel. Meditate upon the gospel. Let the gospel constantly be in your minds. The doctrine of justification by faith, and many other gospel doctrines that we see in the scriptures. Why did I preach this? To warn you not to believe other gospels. We talked about that earlier. Many false gospels. Many messages that twist the true gospel. And again, you'll be tempted to believe them, to follow them. Do not turn away from the gospel. I hope you can repeat that phrase after this. Depend upon your justification before God the Father by faith alone. That's why I preach this message. One reason. Depend on your justification before God the Father by faith alone. May there never be a time in my life or in your lives that you are not trusting in the work of Christ, or that you're trusting in something else, or that your faith is in something else. May your assurance always be in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and in His resurrection. Your only hope to be justified as a sinner before God is the true gospel. So do not turn away from the gospel. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank You for this gospel. We know, because You have taught us from Your word, that without this gospel we have no hope. Without this gospel we have no assurance. Without this gospel we will never make it, and we will not have eternal life. Father, You have revealed this to us by Your power, by Your Spirit, through Your word, and by the work of Your Son. And we believe it. And we cherish this gospel. May we defend this gospel. May we promote this gospel. Father, make us Christians who would live this way, who would talk this way. And for those in this room who have to this day remained unconverted, unchanged by the gospel, unaffected by the gospel, not believing in the gospel, that today, even now, they would throw themselves upon Jesus, that they would trust in Him, that they would rely upon Him, that they would know their only hope of being accepted by You is by believing in Your Son. And Father, I pray for this church that they would be a church that does not turn away from the gospel. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.